Hello and welcome back to the Success Tsunami Summit. We have a fantastic guest for you today. She is a brilliant woman who will assist you to build your credibility by being an online radio host. Now, we are really fortunate to have a friend of mine, a client of mine, and a brilliant woman, Lori Dean, who is the creator of the Rockstar Radio System, is an award-winning actress and public speaker with over 30 years' experience in the public eye. And for the past 10-plus years, she has immersed herself in radio, both offline and online. Now, offline, Lori has logged hundreds of hours as a morning show co-host, producer, creator, and host of music shows, and producer, creator, and host of weekly interview shows. She's interviewed celebrities such as Juno Award winners Jan Arden, the Stampeders, Lily Tomlin, Jerry Marsden, that's from Jerry and the Pacemakers, Stuart McLean, Ian Thomas, and many, many others. Online, she produces, creates, and hosts two popular shows, Dino's Dusty Discs Golden Oldens Radio for the Hall of Fame Music out of Massachusetts, and Help, My Midlife Sucks, Which Makes Me Smile, for Boost Radio Network out of New Jersey. Lori lives in the beautiful Okanagan Valley in British Columbia, Canada, and she's obviously a fantastic person because she is Canadian as well. So, welcome, Lori. I really appreciate you being here with us for our summit.
Hi, Jay. Thank you so much. And yes, we Canadians are truly amazing people, as are you, because, of course, you're a fellow Canadian.
Exactly. All the best people come from Canada. There's just no question. So I'm so happy to have you here, and I'm so happy to have the privilege of interviewing you, because this topic of online radio and what online radio can create is something that has been exploding, you know, really well, 10 years ago, I think I was first playing with it a little bit, and in the last probably 3 years, it has just become more and more and more powerful and prevalent, and God knows we need an expert to guide us through this process. So thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure, Jay. I'm really honored to be here, and of course, very excited to talk about something I'm truly passionate about, which is radio.
Cool. Well, let's start right at the very beginning, which is, what is online radio, and how is it different than offline radio? And I think the proper word is terrestrial radio, but I'm going to stick with offline just because of my vocabulary. So what's the difference, online and offline?
I'm going to stick with offline, too. I get my tongue tied when I try to say terrestrial too much. But the big difference, I suppose, is that online is Internet radio, and so you access it solely through the Internet. And terrestrial or offline is your brick-and-mortar radio station that plays the AM, FM channels, that type of thing. And they may stream their program online, but they also play to a particular geographical area. And with online, it's really fascinating to me because anybody can actually do an online radio show. You don't need any special training or expensive equipment. You can access the world, because, of course, we know the Internet has that capability, and you can actually do your broadcasting from anywhere, out of your home, out of an office, out of the car even, because you can actually do this with a telephone. And because of that feature, it allows me, of course, to be able to do my show here in British Columbia and send it to radio stations in Massachusetts and New Jersey. So it's quite phenomenal. Whereas offline, the staff is hired by the radio station. You show up at the building, and you have to go into a studio to actually broadcast on air. And, of course, it's full of expensive equipment. You have to have a fairly good grasp of some technical knowledge, and it plays to a smaller geographical area, although, as I say, it can stream online. But generally, when it's to a particular geographical range, you program your shows to meet the needs of that area. Whereas online, you can have any and all topics. It's fair game for everything to go on there. So the explosion in online radio makes a lot of sense when you think of it that way, because people with messages can now be heard in all corners. They don't have to have a lot of training. They don't have to have a lot of expensive equipment, and they can get in front of a microphone, blast their message, and it can be heard in all corners. I think it's fabulous.
Love that. So it really does, you know, in the marketing and online world, there's all kinds of conversations around niching and, or I guess if we're going all over the world, it's not niching, it's niching for those of, for our friends in the U.S. But there's all these conversations about niching, micro-niching, in terms of building tribe and following and all the rest of it. So really, instead of worrying about our geography, we start worrying about and getting really focused on what our message is and who our tribe is, regardless of location.
Absolutely, and that's what the online radio can afford you to do through all kinds of marketing tips and techniques, and that you can really hone in and reach a certain type of person that you may not have been able to reach through any other medium or platform.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so, you know, I have some versions of why I think, but let's hear from the expert, which is, so why is it such a big deal when it comes to building credibility? How does it help us with that?
Well, you touched on something already. You talked about the explosion of this online radio world. And back in the 1990s, it kind of got started, and you had to actually be at your computer, and the content was streamed. Then it got to the point, as the technology developed, you could actually download everything onto your computer. And now, of course, you can download it onto your mobile devices and your smartphone and all these great things. But something that I think is a game changer, and it's going to be happening in the fall of this year, when one of the big car or vehicle manufacturer dealerships roll out their 2015 models, is that those vehicles are going to be equipped with access to Wi-Fi hotspots. And why is that so important? For a number of reasons. A lot of people, in fact, now I can't even know this source, so I'm kind of quoting something that just, can't really back up, but I have heard that over 200 million people in the U.S. commute to work each and every day, and that over 80% of adult Canadians here in Canada spend over 2 hours on radio each and every day. Now, right now, those are the offline radio access that people have. And again, it's in their car when they're commuting to work or running errands or whatnot. But if you have the capability of actually accessing a Wi-Fi hotspot, and a coach or a consultant or whomever has an online radio show, your people can listen to you while they commute to work. And that is a fabulous exposure for you and builds your credibility beyond, well, just skyrockets, because you are the expert that they tune in with each time they're in the car going back and forth. It's really phenomenal in that regard. And also, you know, I've been talking about the explosion in what's happening in the online world, and I wanted to dig up some stats as I was putting together my program, Rockstar Radio System, just to see how prevalent all of this was. And so I looked at four broadcasting platforms that are on air right now. And what I mean by broadcasting platforms is the places where you would go if you want to host a radio show, you would sign up with them, and they stream it for you. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Blog Talk Radio, Live 365, Spreaker, and Contact Talk Radio. And so you combine all those pieces together and sort of look at what's going on with them, you discover that there are 20,000 active broadcasters per day, up to 40 million listeners a month, up to 1 million streams a day, and over 400 genres of talk and music online radio shows. And that just blows my mind. I can't get my head around that sometimes when I hear figures like that. But for people who are looking to have their own show, you have access to this global market, and you get to position yourself as an expert in what you do. You are perceived as being that expert. As soon as you say, I have a radio show, my gosh, do people take notice, particularly people that you might want to work with as potential clients and potential joint venture partners, because they can go, oh, my gosh, this is another outlet for us to promote what we're doing together. This is an opportunity for me to be interviewed by someone who has like a radio show. This is pretty cool. And speaking of interviews, it's also an opportunity for you as the host of the show to interview experts. And the experts will probably bring a lot of value to your listeners. So your listeners say, my gosh, she really knows what we want. She really listens to us. She must know what she's doing. So again, your credibility goes up another notch or two. And if you really connect with your guest, if you can ask some great questions and actually have a conversation more than a question and answer type situation, if your guest feels relaxed and has a great experience with the interview, a couple of things can happen. First of all, they can say, wow, that was great, I want to come back, and you can have them back. And secondly, they can recommend you to other people. And other people could be someone, you know, high up that you really want to interview, someone you really admire in your niche that you would love to get online. So if you get a recommendation from a guest, that might be a foot in the door to reach those people. And it might also be an opportunity for you to get a testimonial from the guest that they really like what you're doing. That's pretty cool. And you can also use the show to talk about what you do and why you do it. And not only talk about it, but to actually demonstrate it. Because with online radio, you have the opportunity to bring your listener into the equation. They can maybe phone in with a question or they can type it in the chat. And you get to practice your expertise. You get to prove your credibility. You really demonstrate what you're able to do.
Wow. So, you know, I heard like five different really powerful ways to build credibility in there, and I'm sure that there's a whole bunch more. But I have a question while you were talking about this, because all of those make perfect sense to me, particularly for, let's say, a coach or a trainer or a content producer who's trying to get their foot in the door and trying to get known for something. But, you know, you have a ton of exposure. You've been on regular geographic, offline is the one I'm looking for, offline radio for years and in a variety of other media pieces. So why did you choose to do online radio? And from your perspective, is it helping you gain the exposure and showcase your expertise in the way that you want? Because, you know, for some people, it's like, look, I'm just stuck. It's an online radio show or it's nothing. That's not your case. Please answer. So why did you choose to, and how is it working for you?
Great questions, Jay. And first of all, let me just say it is working phenomenally for me, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But why I chose to do it is, I guess, a couple of reasons. I left my job in terrestrial radio back in 2009 so that my husband and I could go do some traveling for a couple of years, which was great. But when we came back to Canada to settle down, I knew a couple of things. Number one, I didn't want to get a regular job. And number two, I missed radio like crazy. So I couldn't figure out what I was going to do, because if I didn't want to go work at a radio station, how was I going to get my radio fix? And that's when I kind of discovered online radio. So I started to poke around and realized that I could actually get my radio fixed by putting together my little oldies music show in the way that I used to create it when I worked in offline radio. And I didn't see any other oldies shows doing that, or any other music shows actually doing that kind of thing when I stepped into the ring. A lot of people just play their iTunes music library, it seemed. So I felt quite comfortable that I knew what I was doing and I got my fix, so that was great. The other thing that was happening to me is as I came back to Canada, I really had a desire to help and serve other people. And I wasn't quite sure how I was going to take my particular gifts and skills and do that. So I dabbled around and I looked around to see what could I do. And I was meeting brilliant, brilliant coaches and healers and consultants and leaders and trainers. And I was just blown away by these beautiful people with these great messages and their desire and passion to help others. And I thought, oh my goodness. These are the best kept secrets out there, these people and their gifts. And gee, I wish there was a way I could just expose them to people. And then I went, aha, what if I did an online radio show that connected people who needed help with the people who had help to offer? And so that's exactly what I did. And because I'm in my midlife years and I've dealt with so many people going through the same kinds of experiences and frustrations that I might have experienced, I thought that would be the market that I would hit. People roughly between 45 and 60 who have all of these situations that they think, oh my gosh, my life sucks right now, and I want to say, no, it doesn't, and I want to give you exposure to people who can show you how to make things better. So that's when I came up with Help My Midlife Sucks. And when I went to figure out how to do this, because I thought I knew how to do music online, but I didn't think I knew how to do talk show format online, I couldn't find a good model, a good example online. So I went to my offline roots and I put something together. And I debuted the show at the end of January, and I hoped I was going to get it on sooner, but because I was having this struggle as to what I wanted to do with it, I waited, and I was glad I waited, because I actually came in contact with Boost Radio Network, and they are really going to change the game again in terms of the online world. Excuse me. But what I did, okay, I debuted on the 29th, and I didn't really know what to expect in terms of listeners. Brand new show, you know, minimal marketing, just through the usual channels. When the stats came in, I had 500 listeners that one night who stayed to the very end of my hour show. The second week, 800. And week number three, over 1,000 listeners.
Outstanding.
And it's
Congratulations.
Growing.
I mean, that rocks.
That just stunned me. It absolutely stunned me. So that I could not have reached 1,000 people so quickly through any other type of forum that I can think of right at this point. And so I was really, really excited that this was working for me because I was kind of using myself as a case study. Of course, I want to be able to help others to make a show, but I got to make sure that it's going to actually work what I'm teaching, and it seems to be working for me. So my exposure, and again, because I'm online, of course, I've exposed to the world, so to speak, but there's a specific demographic in New Jersey that is tuning into this particular station and in the eastern United States in general. These are people that I never would have been able to reach if it hadn't been this kind of radio format. They're understanding the credibility, and they're going, hey, my gosh, she's got access to all these great people who can help us with our needs. Wow, she knows what we want. My gosh, she really is good at what she does. So it really boosts my confidence, my certainty, and it really lets them perceive me as an expert, my listeners, and it lets the guests perceive me as an expert, too, because I say, hey, I can connect you with people who need what you have to offer.
Nice. Nice, nice. And, I mean, that's an inordinate number. Now, I need to ask this question because you have some history and background. How realistic do you think it is for somebody from a sort of standing start to attract that kind of an audience? Like, were there any tips and tricks that you did that brought them faster, that brought them to you faster than others? Or is that part of what happens in your rockstar radio system? Or, because I'm fascinated by that. That's a hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, and that's a great question, Jay, because I don't think it's realistic for people who don't have a background to expect those kind of numbers out of the gate. That's, you know, that is exceptional, and it is because of Boost Radio and their infrastructure, I guess, in many ways that can kind of happen. And Boost is actually a virtual radio station. They're like an offline radio station, but they're doing it online now, and it's a totally different creature, whereas broadcasting platforms such as Blog Talk Radio are just that. It's like anyone can sign up, become a member, and broadcast a show. So for someone starting out, those numbers are high. I grant you that. However, there are so many ways to promote and market your program and cross-promote and market what you're doing that you are going to position yourself in such a way that the numbers will grow and you will start to get those listeners. And I can talk about all of those later, or, you know, again, we cover it in my Rockstar Radio System program as well, but there are definitely ways to get your listenership up, and not only your live listeners, but people who can listen to the replays.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I know in terms of the digital world that is a monumentally big piece of this.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about this explosion in the marketplace, and a question that I hear in lots of different industries, lots of different areas. So there's lots more online radio shows today. I mean, you just gave us some stats which boggled me, quite honestly. Do you think the market's saturated? Is there room for more people to be doing this? What's your take on audience size, number of hosts? What's going to happen as this becomes even more accessible over the next couple of years?
I think there is definitely room for really good hosts. Yeah, the market seems saturated, and when I looked at those numbers too, Jay, I was completely boggled. But as I mentioned, when I went online listening to shows, looking for role models, I found very, very few. And the ones that I did find were generally the people that were in a position to maybe spend a little bit more and have the best technology. They were the celebrities. They were the corporations. Everybody, the businesses, all the big names seemed to be getting online and making a radio show. That's not the kind of radio show that is realistic for a coach, consultant, or even myself starting out to have. And quite frankly, I don't think that's the kind of show that we want because it can be really dictated by a lot of rules and regulations, and it becomes a little bit too rigid. Whereas if you're creating your own show, you really got a say in how it develops. But you need to do it well. I really believe that everybody can have a radio show if they know how to do it properly. And there are so many brilliant messages being lost in the sea of mediocrity out there, because when you look at the number of broadcasters and you get that kind of sense that it is a saturated market, it's very easy to get discouraged and it's very easy to think, well, you know, why even bother? I'm not going to be known. But the point I guess I'm trying to make is that I did not see a model to create good shows. Yes, the broadcast platforms give you tips and they certainly help you, but I didn't see it all. I didn't see the complete package. And I was getting frustrated because I would tune into a show, the marketing would be fine, the message sounded great, I thought the host would be wonderful, and the host was to a point. But he or she just didn't know how to take it to the next level. And it became boring, it became dull, there was listener tune up, there was all these things happening. And that's when I thought, oh, these people are just not going to make the impact that I know they want to make. So there is always going to be a need for those people who can do it and do it well. And I think that everybody has that opportunity if they want to learn some of the insider techniques to get it there.
See, and what I love about that is often when I'm doing entrepreneurial coaching and consulting, somebody will come up with what they're sure is a unique idea, and then do a little research on it. It's like, oh, there's a couple of companies cranking, just doing fantastic with it, and they get discouraged. It's like, good Lord, they've done your market testing for you. It proves it's a viable model. Now you just got to put your twist on it and do something that's meaningful, significant, and leapfrog on that foundation. And when I see something that has grown like internet radio, it just seems obvious to me that it is growing because it works. And if you can learn the tips, the tricks, and the inside pieces that the vast majority don't have, look out, world, here you come.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And the other thing that people need to realize, too, when they step into that market, anything they do, but particularly in online radio, they are bringing something totally 100% unique to bear, and that, of course, is themselves and their experience. I don't care if there's 55 million How to Eat Better shows out there. You're coming in with your take, your message, and your unique selling proposition, which, of course, is you. And you're being authentic. And that's another point I want to make sure that our listeners get, is that I'm not trying to turn everybody into radio announcers and having them sound like a certain way. This is all about being authentic, being the best you that you can be, so that your listeners get to know, like, and trust you. They want to see what else you have to offer. You are demonstrating your likability as well as demonstrating all of the good stuff that you have to help them with. So it's when people get scared or overwhelmed by the number of people in their niche that might be doing something like this, I say, like you, my gosh, they've done the market testing, and don't compare yourself to anybody else. You are brilliant and unique, and you got to get out there and just do your thing and get as much exposure as you can so that your message is heard by those people that you want to hear it.
Nicely put. So let's look on the other side of this, because I think if anybody, you know, like me has been dabbling and playing with it and testing in this arena, you might have loved a show that was there for a while and followed it, and then all of a sudden they're not there anymore. So do you have any thoughts that you could share with the listeners about, you know, why some of the shows, even if they are highly likable and all sorts of things, aren't successful in really getting the message out and keeping listeners and staying on air? Like, what are some of the loudest mistakes that you know, inexperienced hosts and shows are making?
Yeah, good point. And actually, I have a gift for our listeners that I think explains that in a little bit more detail. And if our listeners go to rockyourradioshow.com, they can download basically a webinar that I did called The 5 Pitfalls of Hosting an Online Radio Show. And I'm going to run through them quickly now, but that's, you know, take that, look at it, make sure that you understand what it's saying and think, okay, I can avoid these. If I'm going to do my radio show, I'm going to avoid these, because that's really the aim of that document, is to help you avoid them. But briefly, the 5 are no plan. Someone decides, I want a show, they get on the air, they don't have a plan. They don't know why they're doing it. Now, there are many, many benefits of hosting one, and we've been talking about a lot of them. But if you don't understand your big why, what is the benefit for you? What do you hope to gain out of it? You're really going to fumble. And so you need a clear message, and you need a way to measure that to make sure that you're on track. So that's it. They have no plan. They don't have a theme. They don't really have a direction. They get bored. They find it's too much work. They lose interest. They don't think they're getting the listeners. Maybe they aren't getting the listeners. So, yes, a show that seems to be going along nicely all of a sudden disappears because the host really didn't have a structure in place. Mm-hmm. And the second pitfall is this poor connection. And I'm not just talking about technically. I did mention that you can literally do a radio show with your phone, but I don't recommend it because the technical quality is really poor. But with a microphone and a headset or headphones, very, very inexpensively, you can do a high-quality show. So technically, you can get around that. But I'm also talking about poor connection with the listener. And a lot of that comes from not understanding or underestimating how to use your voice. Someone gets in front of a microphone, they're doing a radio show, they aren't being seen, and they pick up a piece of paper and they start reading and they drone on and on with facts and figures and it's sounding very monotone, and after a while the listener tunes out and it's just goof. They don't understand how that's coming across. The power of the voice, the inflections, all of the things that you can do, the juiciness, the richness you can convey in your words and in your tone and in your inflections, they don't get that. So the listener will tune out. And I guess number three, what I saw a lot of time on the radio shows was it would become a little bit too pitchy. It became another sales event, if you will. Now, don't get me wrong.
I have heard that, yes.
I love teleseminars and webinars and all of the wonderful things, but when you go to those, you know what to expect generally. There's a certain formula that is followed, and you understand that an offer is going to be made at the end of it, and all of those great things, and I love it. It's brilliant. But I don't think a radio show is a teleseminar. I think a radio show's main purposes are to engage and entertain your listener while you educate and enlighten them. And too many times people get on there and it becomes, buy my stuff, buy my guest stuff. And I guess that's another little bee in my bonnet is if you bring on a guest and you are an affiliate for that guest, then what are you going to be doing? You're going to be talking about that guest's product. What I believe a show is you bring the guest on and you say, tell me about yourself. Let's chat about you. Like, for example, if you came on my show, Jay, because we know each other and I know a few things about you. Yeah, I'd love
to talk
to you.
Don't tell anyone,
Pardon? Don't tell anyone? Oh, shoot.
You know,
I was just going to share a deep, dark secret.
Not that skeleton, please. No.
Not that. Okay. I'll push that skeleton aside and blow off
get
the
a
dust
new one.
From this
one.
Get on up on here. But I would have you on and we would talk about the Creator's Code and all the brilliant stuff you do. But I'd also might say something like, Jay, you got a passion for cars. Like, what's with the car thing? And tell me about your car. And we could talk about that. Or we could talk about the fact that you and I, you know, grew up in the same province, and the football team in that province, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, is the best thing ever. And we could have a conversation around that. And what that would do is show or get my listeners hear what a great guy you are and hear your personality and that you're just, a really easy person to talk to and to communicate with. Instead of saying, well, tell me the 12 pillars of the Creator's Code and tell me this and tell me that, which are brilliant in and of itself. But it's a different kind of conversation as opposed to pitch, pitch, pitch. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it to me it's that whole idea of intimacy and connection and how we can make the transition from what I would call transactional to relational. So instead of there always being this transaction that play, there's this relationship and context that we can build that is, really the fabric of humanity.
Absolutely. And I know I said I wasn't going to go on and on about these pitfalls because they're in the gift, but I that one is such an important piece of the puzzle that I just want our listeners to understand. So I got a little carried away with that. But I'll quickly wrap up with the other two. And this one is forgetting the listener, and it ties in with everything we've been talking about previously. If you are doing all of those things we mentioned, you don't have a plan, you're having poor connection, and you're just trying to sell your stuff, you really aren't entertaining or engaging or involving the listener. And on the radio, again, you can involve the listener by, bringing them onto the phone so they can ask questions or whatever. And the fifth pitfall is that shows are generally too long. Until you become very experienced at hosting radio shows, and even then it gets tricky, but I would highly recommend you keep your shows to 30 minutes. And there's several reasons for that. the average attention span of people is about 20 to 25 minutes. And anything longer than 30 minutes right now can weaken your message, cause information overload, and the listener's just going to tune out. And with so many other shows on the air, you don't want them tuning off yours and tuning on to somebody else. So those are the five pitfalls. And like I say, if you go to rockyourradioshow.com, you'll be able to download and take a look at all these pieces and really get a sense of what you can avoid when you're putting together your show.
Well, and you know, I did a show years ago that was both offline and then streamed online. And I can tell you, in terms of navigating our way through, and I have a tendency, perhaps it's because we're both from Saskatchewan, but I have a tendency to learn lessons sometimes the hard way. Just really putting some investment and time and energy into the five things that you just mentioned, I know would have saved me an inordinate amount of time and energy in creating the best program I could. So, you know, goodness gracious, if you're thinking about this, go get the gift, take advantage of the gift, and apply that stuff before your shows air, not after, as at least one of us on this call did.
Make that too. I, you know what? I learned the hard way too, Jay. When I was trying to figure out how to put this talk show together, and I couldn't find a model, I tried these pitfalls myself, and it was a disaster. I had a very short-lived show called Hot Flashbacks Radio Show that lasted 3 episodes, and I pulled it because I knew I was doing everything wrong. So I've been there too.
Good, good, good. I understand that, and I think sometimes those are those hard-won lessons are some of the most powerful. Okay, so those are the things we shouldn't do. So talk to me about what are some of the ways in which we can create a successful show. So one that, you know, meets our needs, contributes a ton of values, a ton of fun, that keeps us and them coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is kind of the foundation of my Rockstar Radio system. When I figured out what isn't great to do, let's figure out what is really good to do. And I put together 5 steps to walk you through it. And basically, the steps are see it, plan it, build it, launch it, review, revise it. And let me go through those quickly just to help the listeners understand a little bit more what I'm talking about. When I say see it, this is the big picture. Why are you doing this radio show? I talked that a lot of people haven't given that any thought. What is your big why? What's your reason for doing this? And figuring it out. And we have a whole set of questions to help people go through and really get clear on that. And then figuring out how you're going to measure if you're on track, a measurable outcome. What kind of tangible, measurable outcome can you have? Is it going to be the number of listeners that increase each week? Is it going to be the quality of guests you're able to attract? What is it specifically for you that you can measure? The second, of course, is plan it. And this is where you get to do the research. You get to figure out a marketing plan. You get to check out broadcast platforms, figure out which one you want to use. You look at equipment. What equipment do you need? What software? The show style, the script outline, how to use your voice. I mentioned that. How to tell some stories. How to paint 3D pictures when you're communicating over the airwaves so that the listener can close his or her eyes and go, oh, I see it. I see it. How to do all those things. Once you've gone through that kind of research and training, then you get to build it. You get to take all these pieces and start to put them together. So you test the pieces. You pick what you want, then you start to test the pieces. You test your show style. You test the technical equipment. You get into your broadcast platform and get on the console. And a console is just like a dashboard, basically. And you check your volume levels of your microphone, and you play around. You do all those fun things. You check your script outline, and if you're having guests, you make sure you've communicated with the guests. You go through whatever information and conversation is needed to ensure that you have all the pieces that you need to have a good interview with that person. And you practice, 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 practice. If you can practice just talking to someone else, you can practice into your microphone and record it. Just get very, very comfortable with this kind of non-comfortable or abnormal medium of sitting in front of a microphone and just talking. It can be a little bit confusing and uncomfortable to some people. So after you build it, of course, you are going to launch it. So you've taken your marketing plan, you've put that into place, you're promoting your show, and then you get on the air and you do it. And the day of the show, the half hour or so leading up to the actual broadcast, there's, you know, again, I share with people a lot of techniques that they can do to help keep calm, to things that they should have on hand and while they're on the air, how to handle the guest and things like that. Once you've launched your first episode, review it. review what you liked, what you didn't like, and then what you didn't like, you get to revise. Find out what you need, what information, what help, what support, what tools, what will it take to revise your show so that it does the next episode and future episodes, it will meet your big vision, your big picture. So that's a really quick overview. It can sound extremely overwhelming when I put it that way to people, and I don't want anybody to go, oh my gosh, I can never do that, because it can be fun, it's easy, it's simple, and my goal with Rockstar Radio System is to have somebody get a radio show up and on the air in 30 days or less, and not just a radio show, but a Rockstar radio show.
30 days, front to back.
Front to back, and then you review. Afterwards, you review and you say, okay, you know, this is great, this isn't great. And sometimes people will say, oh my gosh, this whole thing is just not what I want to do at all. I have decided that I want to go this route instead of that. For example, if somebody thought they could talk for 30 minutes by themselves and share all of their wonderful things, and they realize, I can't talk for 30 minutes by myself, they might think, I want to start interviewing people. I want to bring guests onto the show, or I want to bring a co-host into the mix. So that requires a complete sort of going through the steps again, because you're starting with a different show type. You're revamping. So then you go through, you see it, you plan it, you build it, and then you launch it again in a different way. So it can be a lot of fun, and you can get really creative in what you want to do with your show.
Nice. Okay, so let's fast forward. I say I'm going to do a new show, and I'm fascinated by this process, and I'm now facing the conundrum of guests. Who do I want? Who can I get? Who's competing with me in the marketplace? All of those pieces. And one of the I think brilliant questions or thoughts is what do you think about interviewing other people in the same marketplace? You know, that potentially could be viewed as a competitor or any of those types of things. Because I think sometimes people steer away from those experts and those guests when, in my humble opinion, they could be some of the greatest shows ever.
They can be phenomenal shows. I totally agree with you. I think those make the best guests for your listeners, because you are playing to what they want based on that market, and these people are doing the same thing. And if you can create a relationship with your so-called competitor, then suddenly that's not so scary anymore, and it doesn't seem like, oh my gosh, they're doing everything I can never do. You're connecting on a human level. You're building a relationship. You're bringing this person on to your show and saying, please share your expertise with my listeners. And first of all, again, the listeners are getting great value, and they say, wow, she really knows what we want. And the guest is thinking, huh, exposure for me and my market and what I do. And also maybe thinking, you know what, I look at this person as my competitor, but really I get to see a way that we might be able to work together. Maybe we can even create a joint venture partnership. So suddenly all these other doors and windows start to open, and what might have seemed like you put a wall between you and your competitors is suddenly gone, and it becomes, how can we work together instead of how can I be better than you?
Love that. And I think anything that helps us reframe that sort of less than scarcity, there's not enough BS, is got to be helpful in the long run no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if I'm a host, do I want to just like stick to that particular model of I'm the host and I'm building my credibility through being, you know, the host and having that sort of power, authority, and perspective, or should I also consider being guest at the same time, or are those two roles in conflict perhaps?
I would actually, in my opinion, say be a guest. If you are invited to be a guest on somebody's show, absolutely, because you can cross-promote what you're doing. And again, it's that win-win situation. You're working in collaboration with someone, with a different host. And if someone really likes what you do and thinks well enough to invite you onto their show, I think that's a great compliment. And again, a great testament to your expertise and your credibility, that they want to share you with their marketplace. And I think the two, I guess I don't see any delineation between roles. I just see an opportunity, a melting pot for everybody to kind of get in and work together and collaborate. And if you start to think in terms of what else is possible, what else is possible in terms of who I can work with, how I can work with them, how we can work together on our shows. You know, they can be a guest of mine. I can be a guest on theirs. What else can we do? It really, you break out of the box, your mind gets open, your heart expands, and I think you can create some brilliant, brilliant radio. And I think that might be what's missing, the big picture in terms of what's missing in online radio right now, is that sense of everybody seems so isolated and protective of their little community.
Well, and Lord knows that isn't just radio, and I think that it costs people money in all areas of life and business when we get, let's call it scarce and protective.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
So you and I have a similar view about that, which is whatever we can do to create value, contribute, collaborate, is the whole is going to be greater than the sum of its parts no matter what. So I love your grounding about that, and it just makes perfect sense to me. So I have been getting a ton of emails lately about learning how to podcast and podcasting secrets and podcast your way to millions and podcast in your sleep and.
I like the podcast in the sleep one. That sounds great.
Yeah, I think I'm going to buy that particular program because, you know, I'm pretty good at sleeping. But on a serious note, what's the distinction between a radio show and a podcast?
Well, first of all, I want to say that, in my opinion, I think they're kissing cousins as far as I'm concerned, because I think a radio show makes a brilliant podcast. But there are some differences, and I guess the first one is that with radio, you get to do a live stream or a replay. Listeners can listen to the replay. In podcasting, everything's pre-recorded, so you only get the recording. You can download it and listen that way. And in radio, you get direct listener interaction. I talked about having the listener call into your show with a question or maybe even use the chat feature. And on podcasting, it's indirect listener interaction. Maybe there are ways for them to leave comments on your websites or communicate with you, but it's not that direct interaction like in radio. And the radio uses a broadcast platform, as I've been talking about, which has a broadcast console or a recording system. So you actually log into that and you record your show that way. Now, to be clear, that even if you have pre-recorded a show, and that's other things that I get into in my course, but if you've pre-recorded a show, you still need to log into your console, upload the show, and then have it play that way. Where with podcasting, everything is pre-recorded. You use software in advance, you pre-record everything, and then you register with a media hosting platform and submit the podcast to different directories. And, of course, radio, it's audio only. With podcasting, you have the option of doing audio or video. But I really believe that you can bump your credibility up even more by turning your radio show into a podcast. And there are several ways you can do that. Some take a little bit more time and effort. Others, or the easiest one, I suppose, is just take your radio show, the recording of it, and put it in a podcast directory. Now, there's a bit of tweaking that needs to be doing, and you need to go through that media hosting platform, but then your radio show is now a podcast going out to people who are in who listen to shows in podcasting directories, again, reaching a whole other market that you may not have been able to do before. So, again, you're killing two birds with one stone, because you can say to a potential guest or JV partner, I've got a radio show and a podcast. So you're going to get exposure online through the radio, and you're going to get exposure through the podcasting directories. Plus, you're going to get, again, clients are going to start listening to your show. You're going to know how to create a really great show, and they're going to start listening and expecting it and watching for it. And if you think your show is too long, there are ways you can cut it up into it, like make a series, little mini-series, two or three mini podcasts with tips about something. You can actually take your audio version of your radio show and put it to like a PowerPoint presentation. So now you have a video podcast, and on and on and on and on and on. So it just creates another forum for you to get out there, get your message out there, and turn it into another product that you can have on your list of products and things on your webpage.
Cool. Yeah, that just makes the most sense. I mean, I'm all about repurposing content as much as we possibly can to reach a broader audience. So it would just make sense if you're going to go through that the process of creating a show, you have just another outlet for it.
Absolutely.
Okay, fantastic. You know what the crazy thing about this is? I swore some years back that I don't think I use Saskatchewan language, which I don't think I'll use here. But I did swear and quite literally swore years ago that I would not go back and do another radio show. But an hour into this, I'm thinking to myself, you know, maybe I should do that again. There were some fun parts about it. That could be kind of cool. So you're inspiring me.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that, and I hope others are too, because that's the whole point. This is fun. This can be quick. It doesn't have to take a lot of time, and you're not aiming for perfection. You're aiming to showcase yourself and your gifts.
Got it. Fantastic. Okay, so I know that you want to fill us in about Mary, a client of yours, and a little bit of a case study of how she used her radio show to create a whole bunch of cool things. But you've mentioned the Rockstar Radio System a couple of times. I would really love for you to step us through what it is. I understand that you have put together a really fantastic offer for the Success Tsunami Summit, which we deeply appreciate. But fill us in on what it is, how it works. You know, if somebody's considering going back to do a radio show, that might be good for us to know. Please fill me in.
Sure, I'll be happy to. Mary will have to just sit tight for a minute, and then I'll get to her. But, yeah, STS.RockstarRadioSystem.com is the URL where it really goes into a lot of details about what the program has to offer. I think what makes this unique is that I take this 10-plus years of experience I've had in radio, both offline and on, and particularly offline. I mix the offline secrets that I've used, that I've learned from other radio experts, and I pair it with the tools of online radio production so that you can produce a truly professional-sounding show. And the system cuts through all the overwhelm and confusion of planning, building, and delivering your high-quality show by teaching a simple, practical plan that will move you from idea to implementation quickly. It gets rid of all the mystery, the misconceptions, and the technical challenges. It can be a heck of a lot of fun, and as I say, it can get you on the air in 30 days or less. So that, in a nutshell, is what the program does. And the five steps I went through earlier are the foundation of it.
Cool. And what does it cost? How long does it take? What sort of support pieces happen with that?
Okay. What happens is, first of all, I guess the program is maybe not for everybody. We kind of touched on who might benefit from it. But what I have discovered as I share this with people, that there are generally three groups of people: those that have an online radio show and they're just not happy with the results, those who have thought about having a show but are so overwhelmed they don't even know where to begin, and those who may not have even heard of online radio and really don't know what's in it for them. And the power of online radio is something, of course, I'm very passionate about, and I'd like people to see it as a viable, easy-to-use, and fun platform to touch more people and practice your public speaking skills. That's really quite cool. Grow your tribe and position yourself as an expert. But I understand this isn't for everybody. So I just want to mention who it is for, and then I will answer your question, Jay, and people can check this out. But who it's for, who I'm talking to right now. So you can listen up if you are a coach, author, speaker, trainer, or consultant with a strong message, but right now you have a weak platform. And if you are an expert at what you do, but nobody else knows it yet, if you want to be a better public speaker, but you just get choked up at the thought of even standing in front of a room full of people and opening your mouth, no matter what the size that room is, and if you have a small list that you want to make bigger, and if right now you're really hesitating to charge what you're worth. So the Rockstar Radio System is geared for you. It's a membership-driven site. There are 5 weeks of training, which feature audio and video tutorials, downloadable resources, weekly assignments. We cover topics like show styles and on-air roles, the equipment needs, the broadcast platforms, voice work, how to take your unique voice and make it the best it can be. We talk about storytelling, that whole myth of hiding behind the microphone, we bust that wide open. We deal with all the insider secrets of offline radio personalities. We bring that to the forefront. We talk about things like pattern interrupts and teasers and intros and extros and all kinds of fun words that you may not understand right now, but after going through the program, they'll be second nature to you. Plus, I do 5 live Q&A calls with all the members, 1 a week. We cover all of the steps. So you go through like a 30-day process, get your show on the air, and then we come back and we review what happened as you review and revise it. I critique your first episode of your show. So you get a chance to give it to me and I can give you some feedback on it. And all the members get to be a guest on my radio show. Help, my midlife sucks. We got a bunch of bonus, too, some extras. There is a mini course on how to be a sought after guest on other radio shows. We've talked about the importance of that. There's instructions on turning your show into a podcast. We've talked about that too. And there is, Experts of the Airwaves interview series, where I'm taking some people that are really great with their online radio shows right now, and I ask them a series of questions, and they are honest as can be. They talk about the pros and cons of having an online radio show. So all that's thrown into the mix. For our listeners, the price is $497. It's a special Success Tsunami Summit price, $497. And there is a code that you need, a promotion code, to make sure that you do get that price. And the promotion code is ROCKSTAR, all lowercase, ROCKSTAR.
Well, you know, I was talking about all of the emails that I've been getting about podcasting and those sorts of things. I can tell you that there are people charging five times that amount just to teach people how to begin to post and host a podcast. So from a value perspective, $497 for all of those pieces, not to mention your expertise just in the assessment and the feedback of is the show working or not working, that's an outstanding value, and I deeply, deeply appreciate you doing that. So I just want to let people know again, so that is
STS, RockstarRadioSystem.com. And again, you must use the code ROCKSTAR, all lowercase. That's STS.RockstarRadio.com.
Okay, so tell us about Mary, because this is a great example from my perspective of different ways to use radio to serve and support our growth, our evolution, and our business.
Yeah, so Mary, she has always thought that she would like to have a radio show, but she is overwhelmed by the thought of doing it. She looks at all of the platforms. She doesn't understand them, for one thing. She looks at the ton of radio shows that are out there in her niche, which is wellness, and thinks, oh my gosh, I have nothing to say. These people are experts. She doesn't consider herself to be that kind of an expert. And she's written this cookbook, which is based on holistic living and all of that. But she doesn't know how to get it out there. So she thought radio might be a really natural way for her to do that. But she is completely intimidated by public speaking. She's completely intimidated and overwhelmed by everything she thinks there needs to be done. So Mary takes the Rockstar Radio System and she looks at the five steps. And first of all, of course, she starts with step number one, where she has to really understand why she wants to do it. It might sound good and she might say, well, people told me it's a great way to market my book. But what is her real reason for wanting to do the show? And as she goes through the series of questions, she discovers that, first of all, she wants to be able to share some of the tips that she has in her cookbook with people on how to choose the best foods possible when they're preparing these menus. She also wants to be able to have listener engagement, so she'd like the people to be able to call in and ask questions, and she can either talk about a specific tip or she can give them a recipe. And, of course, the third thing, she wants to be able to promote her book. So she's also heard about, you know, you go out in public and you do readings and you stand in front of a group of people and you read, and she's not ready for that. She is very, very intimidated. However, Mary is a goddess at what she does. She knows her stuff inside and out. So she believes that she has a voice. She also likes the idea that she can use that voice on the radio and she doesn't have to worry about the physical discomfort of feeling like she's on display. So she gets to practice being comfortable and confident with public speaking. She gets to share her brilliance. She gets to interact with people and demonstrate her expertise. And she gets to build her certainty, confidence, and credibility so that when she is ready to speak in public, live in front of people, three-quarters of the problem, I suppose you call it, is solved. And the other piece of dealing with that physical discomfort is pretty quickly remedied once you know a few basic tips about how to be in public, I guess. Plus, Mary is developing her own unique personality. So she gets all this just from going through that exercise of seeing the big picture. And then she starts the real work of going through the plan, researching the broadcasting platforms, picking one, choosing her equipment, figuring out her show style, which is just going to be her engaging with listeners. Then she starts to build it out, and she practices it. She practices this piece. She pulls them all together. This is week number 3. And week number 4, Mary is ready to go on the air. And she's set up with her broadcast platform. She's checked the console. She's got everything in place. She knows what she's doing. She's got things timed out. Boom, off Mary goes with her very first show. Now, Mary is a little still intimidated, and we work through some of the process of getting her comfortable before she goes on the air. But afterwards, Mary still feels like she just didn't do a good enough job. She was really, really nervous. She felt it came across in her voice. But that's okay. She's so proud of herself because she actually did it. So now Mary gets to go back and review what she liked. And we always start with, well, what did you really like? What went well for you? What was easier than you expected, and what really did you really like? Okay, what are the pieces that didn't work so well? What are we going to do about them? How can we turn that around and fix it so that next time you go on the air, you're going to feel a lot more comfortable, and you're going to put some of that in place? Well, one of the things Mary didn't do, she forgot to breathe when she was on the air. She got so caught up in talking, she kept going like this, and she forgot to take really good breaths, and she had this shallow chest breathing. So one of the pieces that we work on in the program is breath control, is voice and volume and all of that. So Mary goes back into the program, and she works on that a bit more. Some of the other things that happened is she lost track of time, so her show started to run over, and she cut things off right in the middle of everything, which is very, very, very common and will happen until you get a really good sense of timing in your own head. So that's not a big deal. That's just a growing pain. And the third thing that Mary really wanted to fix was her engagement with the listeners. She had some challenges technically. She cut listeners off. When they phone in, she cut them off unexpectedly. But she handled it really well because she said, oh, gee, I'm sorry, Joe, I cut you off, but in answer to your question, and then she went on to actually give the answer anyway. So Joe didn't feel like, oh, you know, she cut me off on purpose. So Mary has grown in leaps and bounds just from where she was at the start of the program to after she's completed her first show. She's extremely proud of herself for doing this, for getting the show on the air. She realizes how she can make it better. She's comparing it to what happened to her overall big picture, and she's revising it, and she you know, is ready to go again. And it wasn't so bad after all. She actually had a lot of fun. And she also started to realize that she can actually speak. She has lots to say, and she's really getting pretty darn good at saying it. A few more times, and she's going to just be a rock star.
Outstanding. So there's so many pieces about this. And you know what this reminds me of a little bit? Is that it reminds me of the personal contextual shift that happened when I finished my first book. And it was just, it did something within me that I think altered how I went about everything. And it really sounds like for Mary and for a bunch of people in sort of that personal development and that inner certainty and the capacity to communicate and get something out in the world, that a radio show would do a very similar piece.
Yeah, I agree, Jay. I think it's very, very similar. And the whole beauty of the people that do have something they want to get out in the world is the fact that they are passionate about it. And that passion can come across in your voice if you let it. It can come across the airwaves so your listener goes, oh, yeah, I get what she's saying. Yes, yes, that makes sense. You don't have to hold back. And you can just let go. And that's what I talk about being yourself only better, using all of those tools and techniques and tips and tricks to really enhance who you are and your message. And then that shift can occur, and you can carry that over into creating videos or Google Plus Hangouts and, of course, speaking from the stage in front of a group of people.
Cool. That's fantastic. All right. Well, I really appreciate your time. I appreciate your expertise and your encouragement, and I'm seriously going to think about adding a radio show back into the mix of ways in which we reach the world. So I really appreciate this. So for those of you at home who I want to just repeat this phenomenal offer, and I appreciate your generosity with this, Lori. It's very meaningful. You can visit
sts.rockstarradiosystem.com.
If you purchase the program, you get it for only $497, which is a steal, but you must use the code ROCKSTAR, all lowercase, all run together, Rockstar. So, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. You have been a tremendous, tremendous contribution to the Success Tsunami Summit, and I look forward to doing much more work with you over the years.
Well, thank you so much, Jay. It's my honor and privilege to be here talking to everyone, and I certainly look forward to hearing you on the radio because I think you're right. You need to be on the air again.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Talk soon. Bye-bye.